Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
Hello everybody, how you doing? And welcome to Movies to Drink To. My name is Finn, and with me as always is Mr. Smith.
Hello.
Hello. Today we're taking a look at Friday the 13th, part 2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to subscribe, you motherfuckers.
Like, yes.
Do it now. And you can rate and review this, and if you're on listening on whatever the fuck it is, Apple and Spotify, and like if you're on YouTube and comment and all that stuff. Cool. Friday the 13th, part dos.
Yes.
From 1981, directed by Steve Miner, who also did House.
Oh, yeah.
Seen the House films?
I've seen them a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. Isn't that one where the second one has fuck all to do with...
The third one has fuck all to do with it.
Has it?
Yeah. Second one's quite good. So second one's arguably better.
Yeah. I might have to watch them again.
Yeah. And Halloween H2O.
Okay.
Okay. It stars Betsy Palmer, kinda. Amy Steele, John Furry, Adrian King is back from the first one, kinda.
Mm.
Kristen Baker, Stuart Charno, Warrington Gillette, and Walt Gorney as Crazy Ralph.
Yes.
Doomsayer Ralph is back.
I love Doomsayer Ralph.
The plot.
Beeth. I've got it ready as well. Here we go.
The plot, Beeth.
5 years after the events of the first film, a summer camp next to the infamous Camp Crystal Lake is preparing to open, but the legend of Jason is weighing heavy on the proceedings.
Right. That explains some of the plot points where I... If I'd read that, I would have been going, hang on, a few times throughout the start of this film. It's not the same camp.
No.
It's next door.
It's like right next door, yeah.
It's right next door.
Which seems absurd.
Yeah.
But just use the old one. Yeah. We can't use the old one because there was lots of murders. So we'll move 3 meters away.
Our story begins with some kid, don't know who, walking along at night. This is in the streets.
Yeah, in a suburban street. Yeah,
purposely walking in puddles like a jackass.
Yeah, and ruining his shoes.
Yes. The shot is only of his feet.
Yeah.
Only his boots. And someone calls him and he walks off. And then another pair of shoes appear with some sinister music.
Yeah.
As in, so immediately appears that how did the kid not see
Yeah, the
them?
Kid was stood right next to him.
Yeah, basically. And then we get some POV action.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for a lot of that.
Yes.
As we're walking up to a house. And I guess in the house, there is a woman asleep having a bad dream. The bad dream is the first Friday the 13th movie.
This just goes on for like 6 minutes.
It's ages.
Of the first film.
Yeah. Basically, it's a recap of the first movie.
Yeah.
This woman's having a dream.
It's Alice from the first film, and she's doing all that. You know those like bad dreams where you think you're not asleep? She's fully dressed as well, and she's sleeping on top of the covers.
Yeah.
Like she's just having a nap or something. But yeah, she's having this like violent flashback dream.
Of the first movie.
Of the first film.
And it's, yeah, the shots, it's just a recap of the end of the last movie. Pamela talking about Jason and then getting killed.
Yep.
Like I said, it's Alice from the first movie.
And we get to see the whole bit where Jason, at the end of the first film, comes jumping out of the water, drags her in and stuff, like, which establishes the fact, just want to point out, that Jason is clearly some sort of supernatural being. Right?
It would seem so. I don't know. After watching this, I just don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Once she's woken up from her recapping of the film, the phone rings and it's her mum.
Mm-hmm.
Her mum is worried. The scene is boring.
Yes.
It's the
mum's terrible phone acting as well.
Yeah. The mum's like, "We're worried about you." And she says on the phone to her mum, she goes, "I need to put my life back together. And this is the only way I know how." Apparently.
Napping.
Yeah, napping and drawing.
Yeah.
I draw, I take a nap,
Yeah.
This is my thing.
Oh, but she makes coffee, but she did in the first film a lot.
She did do it. Spend a lot of the first film making coffee, yes.
Yeah, I think half of Alice's problem is she drinks too much coffee too late at night.
Yes, and then has to nap throughout the day and can't get anything done. Too much caffeine. Caffeine will kill you. Anywho. She then takes a shower and the camera
seems to walk in on her. Yeah, like it does this whole like thing like up until and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? And then she just snatches the shower curtain back and stares directly into camera, which is really weird.
Yeah, and you think like, oh, is it the killer? It's not, though.
No.
It's just the cameraman.
The cameraman.
Yeah. Anyway, the phone rings again and it's nobody.
It's a prank call. Ooh. Jason uses the phone now, apparently.
Yeah. This is, okay, spoilers, the killer is Jason. Which
in the first film, it was his mum. Like this.
Now
this
I got my own movie.
Yeah,
Jason's the star.
Yeah, this is the first, not the Jason we know, but this is the first Jason.
Yes, so he's got his own movie, and it is, I guess, revealed that Jason has found the location of this woman, where she lives, her phone number, and phoned her up.
Yeah,
this is not a thing that he does in
generally.
Yeah, he just kind of lumps around and kills people, but now he's like a sleuth. He's investigating. And although, using a phone, but not talking.
He does. Oh, yeah. In fact, he does a lot of weird shit.
Some sinister music plays. Then Alice is scared by nothingness.
Nothing.
This happens a lot. It happened in the first film as well. It happens a few times in this movie.
Yeah.
Characters seem to get spooked by nothing.
Fuck all.
Like the score of the film. They're like, what's that sinister music? Who's there? Nothing happens.
Oh, it's an orchestra.
What are you guys doing here? How'd you get into my house? We came with Jason. It happens a few times throughout the film. People are like, who's there? Like, what are you reacting to? Anyway, she gets scared by nothing.
Oh, she's left the window open.
She hears a noise out in the alley. Once she actually hears something, there's a noise coming from the alley.
And somebody throws a cat at her.
Well, I was thinking it's a raccoon. It's going to be a raccoon. I was hoping it'd be a raccoon. And then, no, somebody threw a cat through the window.
Literally. I mean, that cat did not that cat didn't jump that way. That cat flew through the air, not of its own accord.
And it lands on the table looking pissed off.
Yeah.
Because someone just threw it. And it's a cat. Alice then opens up her fridge to find Pamela Voorhees' head in the fridge. And then she gets an ice pick through the head by an unseen killer.
Yeah, you just see his like arms. He's wearing like a check shirt.
Yeah. Who then, after killing her, takes the kettle off the boil.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want to. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like Jason's like, well, I have just murdered someone, but I don't want to burn the place down.
Yeah. No. The cat. Think of the cat that I just threw through a window.
In like Jason X, not Jason X, Jason Takes Manhattan, doesn't he set off the fire alarm as well when the boat bursts into flames? He worries about people.
Yeah. I don't want innocent people dying.
Yeah, just the people he's after.
Yeah, which is everybody.
Yeah. Pamela Voorhees' head is in the fridge. So not only was that kid stood right next to Jason just a little while ago, but also Jason with his mum's head in his hands.
Who is the kid?
Fuck knows. It has nothing. The kid has nothing to do with this film whatsoever.
No. Cue the title cards. 15 minutes in, the titles come up. It's one of the longest fucking openings to a movie ever. Anyway. Sometime later. Someplace else, some teens arrive at a gas station in town. This is the town from the first movie. Which is the nearest town to Camp Crystal Lake.
It's a pickup truck that is driven by Brian Johnson from AC/DC. It's got the same hat.
Oh, yeah. It does, yeah. This is Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
Right.
He's not actually Brian Johnson from AC/DC.
This is another thing with these films. The characters appear and we don't find out their names.
For ages.
Until pretty much when someone's calling for them once they're dead.
Yeah.
So a lot of my notes are, some guy. And his girlfriend.
I looked at it. It's hard to tell as well, obviously, because I looked it up on IMDb, so I had the right names, but I got the names wrong because you can't tell
who's
who because they're so fucking. Yeah.
They don't look the same
the
anymore.
Pictures don't look like them.
Apart from the ones that never acted in any other films. Yeah. And their picture is their one fucking appearance in this movie.
Normally, as they die.
Anyway, Jeff and his girlfriend Who's we'll get to her name.
Sandra, she is.
Sandra,
Jeff
that's
and Sandra.
It. But we don't find out her name, I'm pretty
no,
sure.
I thought she was
like...
Vicky for hours.
Vicky's another different one.
Different one.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. Jeff and Sandra arrive at this gas station in town. And Doomsayer Ralph is there.
Yeah, good old Ralph.
Because he's just been waiting for someone else. Yeah. Anyone else to arrive in town to, he's like, ah, they're here, right.
He hasn't been able to tell anyone they're doomed no. for fucking five years.
Yeah, he gears himself up and heads over to them immediately just to go, you're doomed!
I told the others and they didn't believe me. You're all doomed!
You're all fucking doomed! As they're trying to use a payphone, like, yeah. What the shit is going on? Also, their truck is being towed.
Yes.
But it's all a prank being played on them by some lanky ginger kid.
Yeah, Rex.
Ted.
His name's Rex.
I've got Ted written here.
It's definitely Rex.
Rex?
Yeah. Let me check. I've put him as Rex through the whole fucking film.
Well, I've got him as Ted.
Part two. Yeah, this guy's supposed to be like the comic relief.
Yeah.
It is Ted. Why the fuck did I think it was Rex? Where have I got that from?
Don't know!
All right, Ted. Yeah. Ted the jester.
Ted. Yeah, Ted is obviously the prankster. Every Friday the 13th apparently needs some prankster.
Yeah.
He's actually their friend. Anyway, it's joke.
A fucking bellend.
Hilarious joke over. And they give him a lift to, I guess, Camp Crystal Lake, or I was guessing, but
Camp
now
Crystal
I know.
Camp Crystal
Lake adjacent. Yeah, next door. But en route, there is a tree branch blocking the road.
Yeah.
So they have to stop. And Jeff says, where'd this sucker come from?
It's woods. Yeah, it's a forest, mate.
You're in the woods. There. Right there. That's where it came from.
Oh, where'd all these trees come from?
What the fuck? Is that a squirrel?
Yeah, on the way as well, like fucking to solidify that Ted is the comic relief. He tells the older bear and rabbit in the walking through the woods and wipes his ass with the rabbit joke. Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah. The girl, whilst they stops sorting out the tree branch, the girl finds a sign for Camp Crystal Lake discarded in a bush.
Yeah.
So this is where I was like, they're off to a different camp.
Yes.
Because I didn't read the fucking plot. I didn't think I'd have to. I thought I could just watch the movie and it would make sense.
No. No, that's
but it's the
much.
Same lake anyway, and there's also some PO.
Yeah, no, it's still on Crystal Lake, so like, it's still Camp Crystal Lake.
Camp Crystal Lake 2.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's some POV shots. The killer is watching them. Right. Yep. That scene over is totally pointless, basically. Anyway, over at this other camp, there's some counselors. We don't really find out most of their names until they're dead.
Yeah.
One of them's in a wheelchair.
That is Mark.
That is Mark. We find out his name about much later. Yeah. His name is Mark in the wheelchair.
Also, there's Terry, who's the girl walking around with pretty much nothing on.
We get a nice shot of her ass.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she's wearing shorts that don't fit her and a t-shirt that is a child's t-shirt.
A third of a t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah, we get a nice shot of Terry's ass. And then budget Timothy Dalton arrives. This is Scott. And he fires a stone at her ass with his slingshot.
He's a fully grown man.
Yes, with a
and
slingshot.
And he's got like Bart Simpson's fucking slingshot. And
firing
he fires
at a girl's butts.
At her ass. And then he steps out.
Gives this weird grin.
Yeah, I know.
This weird smirk.
I was like, oh, this is a twist. He's the murderer.
Name's Pervert. Massive pervert.
He's definitely a wrong'un.
Yes. So this camp is actually some kind of training camp for counsellors. There's no kids here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even open, really.
No.
It's just a training ground.
Yeah, there's no children involved.
Yes.
But yeah, this is. I assume these things must exist. I assume they just get there like a week early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But don't matter.
Doomsayer Ralph has nearly run off the road on his way to the camp. Of course he's on his way to the camp.
Yeah, because he's got people to tell.
Oh, I heard there's people. There's people in town. I have to tell them they're doomed.
These people don't know they're doomed yet.
Yeah. It's my responsibility and my job and my passion to inform these people that they are doomed, for I am a doomsayer like my father before me
and his father before him. And as my son will be in Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yes. Is there another one between them?
I don't know, because I can't remember the other films.
No, so, neither can I really hope there is a doomsayer in every one. He's nearly run off the road by Ginny, who's late to camp because her car's
a
piece of crap.
Yeah, she's got a terrible car, apparently.
Yes. Paul is the name of the guy who's running this training course.
Yeah.
He's also banging Ginny. right?
Yes, he's slightly annoyed that she's late. And yes, else.
Whilst he's giving a debrief to the counselors,
is a weird debrief.
Well, he's at one point informing them of the environment in which they are in.
Yeah, bear country.
Yes, he does say, quote, despite what you may have heard, bears are dangerous. Who's been telling people bears aren't dangerous? Who's been? What the fuck?
They're all like, oh, I was told you could go up and kiss bears.
I thought they just stole your picnic baskets.
Yeah, none of us have brought marmalade sandwiches purely for this reason. Yeah, and then he says, make sure everyone keep the ladies, keep yourself clean during your menstrual cycle.
Because of the blood.
Is this where Anchorman gets it from?
Don't they actually make a reference to this in Grizzly?
Possibly.
That the bear sniffed their... He smelt the women because of their menstrual blood.
Could have done. I don't remember it that vividly. I know in Anchorman you've got the bear smell the menstruation.
Maybe it's a thing.
I guess so. Yeah. Anyway. It has appeared in more than one film.
Anyway, as we mentioned, Ginny has arrived. Her car's a piece of crap. But Paul fixes Ginny's car by doing nothing.
What is that? He literally opens the back, and as the minute he opens it, he goes, try it now.
And it works! Wow.
And it just like puffs fucking...
Yeah, you get some soot in his face.
Soot in his face. That's it. Like, it's just to set up this shit joke.
Yeah, it's so vicious. He's like,
try it now.
Yeah, literally looks at the engine and go, try it now. That's how much of a man he is.
I intimidated it into working.
It's ridiculous. That night, around the campfire, Paul scares everyone. He starts off his speech by saying, I don't want to scare anyone. But they never found Jason's body. And the locals think he's been around this whole time. He's some sort of demented creature. He's been alive this whole time?
Yeah, they're like, now he's a fully grown man to try and explain this away. That's not how Jason works. Everyone in this film seems to have forgotten that Jason's this weird fucking like supernatural fucking killing machine.
But
like,
is he
now?
Though?
Now he's real. Like he's like a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Doesn't make any sense.
In this film, he never died.
Yeah, but well, then that renders the entire plot of the first film completely.
Yes, it does.
like pointless.
Yes, numerous people before us have brought this up, including the director of the first movie, Tom Savini.
Yeah.
And Betsy Palmer.
Yeah, Pamela Voorhees just murdered loads of people for no fucking reason.
Yeah, why didn't Jason just say, Mum, by the way, I'm alive?
Yeah. just quiet now, Jason. Yeah. Mummy's killing people.
So in this movie, Jason never drowned as a child.
Yep.
And lived hiding in the woods or whatever.
Yeah.
This entire time. And now he's an adult. Yeah. That's the plot.
Yeah. Doesn't fit with the rest of the, like, any of the franchise.
No.
Right. It's so fucking weird.
He's been alive this whole time, and basically he'll kill anyone that enters these woods. And then Ted jumps out in a mask with a spear and scares them all.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
It's because he's such a jester.
Yeah. Later on in one of the cabins, there's some horseplay going on. There's some arm wrestling. Scott turns his collar up and he tries his luck with Terry.
Yeah.
He is rejected, so he asks out her dog instead.
Yeah, asked the dog to dance and then dances around with the dog. Yeah, Mark in the wheelchair is arm wrestling everyone because that's his whole personality. Just because his legs don't work, his arms still do.
He's basically Joe from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Palmer! There's some POV shots. The killer is obviously watching them from outside.
Yeah, constantly.
Then back inside, Scott is now chatting up the dog. Muffin is the dog, by the way, a shih tzu. And Ginny heads off the bed. There's some more POV, watching them again. And then the girl from the truck, Jeff's girlfriend, is trying to convince Jeff to take her to Camp Blood.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's called Camp Crystal Lake. Sometimes it's called Camp Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wants to go at some point because they've been told you can't go.
Yeah, you can't go. So she wants to rebel. Against, like, fuck the man.
Yeah, and go there at some point. Meanwhile, Ginny is getting ready for bed, but there's someone at the door.
This is Ralph's obvious shadow because unless
the hat.
Fucking, unless Jason's nicked his hat.
but it's Paul that arrives at the door.
Yeah.
And they have a smooch while someone watches. It's Doomsayer Ralph.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking perv.
Yeah.
And then Doomsayer Ralph is killed.
Yeah. Jason garrots him.
Yes. Razor wire across the throat. Now who's doomed?
Yeah. Fucking keep telling everyone they're doomed. Shut up.
You're giving it
away. The element of surprise here. Yeah, I was gutted.
Yeah, so Doomsday Ralph is no more.
Yeah.
Damn, shame.
Absolutely fucking
best distraught. Character across both movies.
Best character arc.
Told them they were doomed, and then he was doomed himself. Yeah. The next day, the counselors, they're out on a run. More POV. Walking through the woods.
She wakes up in the morning and Paul's written "Beware of bears" on a mirror.
In blood.
Oh, is she on the blob?
He's used her blood.
Yeah.
To write "Beware of bears" on the mirror. What a sick fuck.
Just before they go to, like, they're sort of kissing and that. And then she goes, "I think there's something that I should tell you." And he goes, "Nah." But I'm like, and then he writes "Beware of bears" the next morning. It's like, is this supposed to suggest?
Oh.
Period sex.
No, all right. Don't worry, I'm going to collect it all up and use it to write you a lovely note.
It's all congealed.
Yeah. So yeah, they're going for a run in the woods. There's some POV walking through the woods, watching them. And then as they're running, Ginny stops to look around suspiciously for no fucking reason.
Yep.
Again. She hears the orchestra playing. Like, what is that? Terry's dog, however, Muffin, he seems to sniff out a killer.
Yeah, Terry's dog like wanders up and you see like looks up at the feet.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Cut away.
Yeah.
And then Terry goes looking for Muffin. Mo, where's my Muffin? Where's my precious dog? Looking for her best friend in the world, I guess, until someone calls lunch. And she's like, all right, I'm coming. Fuck this.
We've got a POV shot because she's looking around this cabin, one of the cabins, and there's like a POV shot, which you're supposed to assume is Jason, I guess, and she looks directly at it and goes, Muffin? Unless Muffin is like...
6 foot.
Like a psychopathic killer. Then no, it's not him, is it? And then she just like walks away as if she hasn't seen anything.
Yeah, because someone calls for lunch. So she's like, yeah, I'm hungry. Fuck this.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck Muffin.
Later in the day, Jeff's girlfriend.
Jason's girlfriend. Bride of Jason. Ooh. That's never been done. They should do that one.
Yeah. Jeff's girlfriend convinces Jeff to sneak off to Camp Blood.
Yeah.
Whilst the rest of them go swimming. Unsurprisingly, Jeff and his girlfriend are being watched by the killer as they enter Camp Crystal Lake and they find Muffin, maybe?
Well, definitely a dog
that's
that looks
dead.
Similar and it's been torn apart.
Yes. And then they're rumbled by a cop.
Yeah. A fucking wildly like out of shape cop.
Yes.
You kids shouldn't be here.
So the
that's only important for the next scene he's in.
The cop takes them back to Paul and he says that you all should leave. You shouldn't be here. He said things have been quiet for 5 years. And that's the way we like it. I'm sorry. But even when the kids were being murdered 5 years ago, you didn't do anything.
No.
How many cops showed up?
But one, and he was killed.
Yeah. And it wasn't you.
He came in looking for Ralph, didn't he? And walked straight past his bike.
But I had to do a lot of paperwork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The cop in the first one is more stoned than the kids.
Yeah. He doesn't even show up.
Starts
he shows up before
shit.
Anyone's even been killed, and you never see him again.
That's it.
Anyway. The punishment for sneaking off into Camp Crystal Lake? No seconds on desserts.
Yeah, it's harsh but fair.
Yeah, I've literally written down stern but fair. Then, as the cop is driving back, he spots something.
Running across the road.
In the woods, And so he leaves his car and he runs into the wilderness after...
hours.
After it for fucking ages. Like, a really long time. It's just shots of him.
Just constant like shots, and then every now and again he'll get to a point and he'll stop and he'll go, and then he carries on again. But yeah, for like 9 days.
Yeah. Eventually he finds an old abandoned shack out in the woods. It's the Unabomber.
Yeah.
This may be a bigger problem than I thought.
Yeah, this fucking weird shack thing, it's got a working toilet in it somehow.
Somebody built it.
There's a toilet with water in it.
Yeah.
So Jason's a plumber. Where does it go? How is it plumbed in? It's in the middle of the fucking woods.
I took a course.
He's made it out of pallets.
Yeah, but he's got a porcelain toilet.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah, I went down to B&Q and I took a course on plumbing and I built this with my own bare hands.
Oh, turns around, there's a fucking TV. It's electric.
I rewired the whole place.
And he's like,
do you like what I've done?
Jason turns up and he's like, I see you found my man cave.
You want a beer? The game's starting. Come on.
Look at this. Look at this. I've got a pinball machine.
It's made of pine cones. I got a little walnut. That's the ball. Come on. I got the high score. See if you can beat me. Anyway.
Where is Jason from?
New Jersey. This whole thing's in New Jersey.
Fucking hell.
He doesn't want to play pinball. The killer sneaks up behind the cop and he sticks a hammer in his skull.
He does, like back end of a hammer in it. Yeah, because the cop opens the door and he sees something, but we don't see what it is. And he goes, and then, gets hammered to death.
Yes. Scene done. That night, the counselors are having dinner and they've all decided they're all going to go out on the town. It's like their last opportunity to go out for a night out. So they're all going to go out, apart from Jeff and girlfriend.
Jeff. My name is Jeff.
That's part of their punishment.
Yeah.
They're not allowed out.
Stay and watch the camp. Yeah. That's it.
Terry wants to stay in case Muffin shows up. Also, Terry's nipples seem very excited about something.
Terry's nipples are on point throughout this. Like every scene.
Hi!
They're like, we're going this way.
Scene stealing. Yeah. Then Scott says he'll stay.
Obviously.
Because he's tired, but actually he just means he wants to try and bang Terry.
Yeah.
And the guy in the wheelchair, he stays.
Obvious reasons.
As to some other girl.
That's Vicky.
That's Vicky. Oh, and the ones that do head out, they take Jeff's truck.
Yeah. They're like, we're just going to take your truck. He's like, oh, yeah, Rex Ted. It's like, give me the keys. And they go off. So, Jeff, Sandra, Vicky, Mark, and Jason, they stay.
Jason, no invite for me.
Yeah. and town, they can drive off into town. Town turns out to be this shitty dive bar with casino written in like Sharpie on one of the signs.
There's a band playing and shit. Yeah. I'd have a beer there.
I'd go there. It looks amazing.
You drink anyway. Drunk Lee would love it.
Start a bar brawl. It's like Roadhouse.
Anyway, Terry, whose dog it is, she heads down to the lake.
Terry goes down to the lake and then suddenly she's like...
Well, she's looking for Muffin.
Take my clothes off.
Yeah, she's looking for Muffin, but then decides to get naked.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, it's nighttime. She's on a road in the middle of the woods. I can't imagine it's that warm. But she's like, fuck it. Skinny dipping on my own.
Yeah. We need to see the ass.
Yeah.
And it is a fine backside.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining about that part. I'm just saying it seems a little bit like they got to this point in the film and was like, oh, we haven't had any tits.
Yeah. Back in the cabin, Jeff and wheelchair guy are having an arm wrestle, but Jeff leaves to bang, leaving wheelchair guy and girl whose name I don't know yet. It's Vicky, I later found out.
Yeah.
And she flirts with him. She clearly likes him, right? Meanwhile, Terry is swimming around naked and someone, definitely Scott, steals her clothes. Like, the camera doesn't show. You're like, and we know it's Scott.
You just see the hand because we've seen Jason's hand a couple of times so far. Like, and you're supposed to assume that it's Jason's hand. Doesn't look.
No.
It's definitely Scott's hand.
Because he's a weird perv.
I've literally written a weird perv. Because he's a weird perv.
And it's Scott, who runs off with her clothes as Terry protests until Scott is snared up in a trap.
A rope trap.
Yeah, he's held upside down.
Scooped up and he's hanging upside down. Yeah, where he belongs.
And Terry makes surprise Pikachu face. And then Terry debates just letting him hang there. Which you would.
Yeah, which is fair.
Yeah, because he's a dick.
Yeah.
But no.
Sex pest.
Yeah. She decides to go look for a knife. And while she's gone, Scott has his throat slit with a machete.
Yeah, I know. This seems like a lazy use of the machete. Like, chop his head off. I mean, it's a heavy-duty weapon. But no, he just quite gently drags it across his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does it in part 8 as well.
He does it...
He kills the captain. Captain Dad.
Oh, yeah. Captain Dad slits his throat. Yeah, and then just, like, makes him stand up of his own volition. Anyway, we've done this one.
We've done that episode, yeah. Terry returns to find Scott's body and screams at the camera.
Yep.
Cut.
That's it, yeah. We're just left to assume that she's dead.
Yeah. Across town, the others are at the bar. Ted jokes around with the barmaid.
Ted is being hilarious.
Yep. And he's using beer bottles as goggles.
Yeah, he's such a card. Oh, I mean, to be fair, this was 1981 and nobody had ever done that before.
But he'd done the thumb trick.
Yeah. The barmaid comes up and he's like, got your nose. Like, you wizard. Burner!
And they sit there, Ginny and Paul and Ted, and they debate if Jason is real. And Ginny is sympathetic towards Jason because he saw his mother get killed. His mother that murdered loads of people.
Ginny's weirdly invested in this Jason thing. She's like, but he just wants to be loved or something. Like some fucking, I don't know, she's looking for some reason for, who at this point they don't think is real anyway.
Yeah.
But she's like, what if he is real? He just clearly needs to be like nurtured and loved.
He needs a mother's love.
He needs a mother's love.
He saw his poor mother murdered. His mother killed
was a
everybody.
Mental case. Yeah. Look, but yeah, and then she's like, well, "Like, I'm serious about this. Like, what do you think?" And Paul's like, "I think you're drunk," and I think I'd say the same.
Yeah. I think you're full of shit, Jimmy. Yeah.
Calm down.
Back over at camp, there's some more POV shots. Watching wheelchair guy and Jeff copping off with his girlfriend in the next room.
Sandra and Jeff, who were going upstairs when we last left.
They've only gone next door.
Yeah,
for some reason.
They're wandering around the fucking cabin now. Yeah. Now they're going upstairs.
We then learn wheelchair guy's name is Mark.
Yes.
We also learn his backstory. He had a motorcycle accident and his legs don't work.
Yeah.
But his cock does.
Well, Vicky, she's this quite sweet looking girl.
Yeah.
It's like, is it just your legs that don't work?
Yes.
How's everything else? Like, all right. Fucking hell.
She wants to bang him.
Yeah.
And he says, I do all right, one way or another. Thumb it in.
Shit. Yeah. I use my elbow.
I've built up a lot of muscles in my fingers.
My legs have been dead that long, they're fucking just rigid. I just put a toe in.
But you've got to do it. Yeah. My legs don't move. Just grab my leg. That's it, put it in. Oh dear. Upstairs, Jeff is playing the harmonica because that's sexy.
Yeah. The harmonica is known as the sexiest instrument.
And then downstairs, that's just a quick shot of that. Downstairs, Mark is he's getting lucky. And she's kissing him. Him and Vicky are making out. And she says, my cabin or yours? It's like, well, whichever one has the ramp, I guess.
Yeah. It's probably best if we stay here.
Unless you're going to carry me to bed.
I mean, I'm up for this, but the logistics are difficult.
Definitely mine. I've got stuff there I need. Fucking hell. Oh dear. So I don't even know what they agree on. I missed out.
Yeah,
I
couldn't figure it out. She goes, we've got the whole camp, and he's like, again. Not really. There's a lot of this camp. I'm not really sure why I'm here. A lot of this camp is completely inaccessible for me.
It's the 1980s.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck. Anyway.
I literally have to carry a ramp with me every
drag it behind. So she goes off to her cabin to freshen up. To freshen up and get all sexy. She puts on a massive sweater, because that's sexy.
Yeah.
And some brown panties. Some
brown pants. That are really unflaring.
These brown panties.
They're massive.
Brown.
Like, really baggy. Yeah, and she gets them out and she shows them to the camera like we're supposed to go.
They hold it up in the mirror. Like, ooh, yeah. Brown.
What are they, your nans?
And then she sprays some perfume on her clunge.
Yes, you do. She like, sprays it like on her, and then she looks down. She goes, "Yeah, I mean, it's pretty bad down there.
Yeah. I'm not gonna wash or anything.
If I'm gonna wear my nan's pants, yeah. I'd better freshen this up.
It's only for his toes, only." All the while, the killer is watching her do this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, James. That's it. That's it. I like those sexy brown pants. Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, just Jason outside again. Not those.
Oh. She then heads off to her car to get a hairbrush. And it starts raining and thunder and lightning.
Yeah, a storm just kicks in.
A storm has a brood and happened. Meanwhile,
Mark's back at the cabin. Mark seems to think the storm is Vicky. Yes. He's like, Mark, Vicky? That's lightning, Mark. It's fucking thunder.
Yeah, it's thunder blast. And he goes, Vicky, is that you? She's not that big. Mark wheels himself out onto the porch looking for Vicky, which he thinks is thunder for some fucking reason. And then we get this totally weird shot, right? So a lot of this is obviously POV, the killer. POV, for those that don't know, point of view.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
The camera is the point of view of the killer behind Mark. He's sat in his wheelchair, not going anywhere. The camera, the killer's view, moves closer and closer to the back of Mark's head. But also, it intercuts with shots in front of Mark, and there's no one behind him.
Unless Jason's like,
what? I saw it. Oh, you won't catch me.
Yeah.
Christ. Anyway, then Mark gets a machete right to the face. The face.
Yeah.
And with such force, it sends him in his wheelchair down some steps and then flying down a whole flight of stairs to the fuck. I told you I should have put a ramp to the fucking. I guess into the lake or something. It's hilarious.
Jason Mack and me's him down the fucking.
Just bouncing like fuck, and he stays in the wheelchair as his body's just
it's Mac and me's him entirely. Like, it's fucking going with the big machete in his fucking head. But yeah, it's fucking insane. So funny.
Meanwhile, Jeff and his girlfriend are banging. Or just finished up anyway. And the killer enters the cabin and he grabs the spear that Ted used earlier to scare them.
Yep.
Yes. He goes upstairs and he impales Jeff and his girlfriend together. They're on top of each other. Boom. Straight through.
Yep.
The two of them. It's what they would have wanted.
Yeah. They died. They died entwined.
Yeah, basically. Over at the bar, and I just realised Ted looks like the guy from Ratatouille.
He does.
He really does.
Yeah. It's uncanny.
Yeah. So anyway, Ginny and Paul, they leave the bar. They leave Ted behind to get more shit-faced.
Yeah.
He's already bollocks. They're like,
yeah, like,
you stay.
Paul's like, Ted, when this place closes, you have to shut. And Ted's, as soon as they're out shot, Ted's like, he turns to this bloke who's about 80.
Yes.
And he goes, is there any late night places? And this guy's like, yeah, of course there is. He doesn't go to them.
Back at the camp. Vicky returns to bang Mark in her sexy jumper.
Yep, and brown pants.
And brown pants. But he's not there, so she heads upstairs to look for Sandra, because this is when I just figured out what her fucking name is, and Jeff, and she thinks they're in bed. They're not. She pulls back the covers, but it's Jason.
This is the first time we see Jason.
Yes, hi, hi, it's me! Welcome to New Jersey! I'm Jason, I'm the star, I got a bag on my head.
Yeah, this is Baghead Jason, because he hasn't found the hockey mask.
I got a great serial killer name. This is going to be in all the papers. You ready? The New Jersey Baghead. Because I'm definitely sticking with this Baghead thing forever. It's a part of me. So he's got a bag on his head.
Yep.
A burlap sack.
With like one eye hole cut out.
Yes.
My favourite bit about this is obviously he's killed these other two and then he's like, oh, do you know what would be really funny? Like, fucking when somebody comes looking for him and they pull the covers back and I'm in bed with him. it's going to be jokes.
I got a lot of banter. Anyway, Jason slashes her leg and she sort of stumbles back and bumps into Jeff's corpse that he's put up on the wall.
Yeah, he's hanging from a duvet.
And Jason stabs her.
Yeah.
Dead. Anyway. Ginny and Paul, they arrive back at camp. Jason is he's got hold of Vicky's corpse and he's taking her down the stairs for some reason so he can go put her somewhere.
Yeah, we never see her again.
For someone that will find, like, stumble, she'll be hanging from something or something like that. Anyway.
Also, going back to when he kills Vicky, he gives her plenty of opportunity to run away. He's like, walks towards her, like, slow as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it takes, like, an hour for him to get to her, but she just dies.
Ginny and Paul get back into the cabin and they find all the lights are on and no one is around. Ginny heads upstairs and finds a bed covered in blood.
Yeah. And Paul's like, I warned everyone about this.
It's the bears! The bears, the bears got them! And then the power goes out, because of course.
Yeah, well, then they walk in. Paul even says, all the lights are on.
Yeah.
What, somebody's left all the lights on? And then they walk into the room and walk back out again. Now he's got a torch, and he's like, all the lights have gone out. Yeah. When? When did that happen?
I don't know. Just the power goes out for some reason. Anyway, Jason, it turns out, is hiding behind a table.
Yeah, in plain sight.
Yeah, in the cabin. Well, not plain sight, because the lights have gone out.
But, yeah. And Ginny's like, there's somebody in this room. And then he jumps out. And this is where we see Jason is fucking tiny.
Yeah, he's not a big
son. No, Paul is taller than him.
I'm malnourished. Give me a break. I've been living off pine cones.
This is Jason the teen years. He's like 15.
I mean, well, technically, if he died in like 58, he should be like 40 or something at this point. I don't fucking know.
He was still a child at the end of the first film when he jumps out. He's like clearly about 9 years old in that. So what is he? Yeah, it's 5 years later. He's 14 years old.
I guess. Anyway, he attacks Paul and they roll around on the floor for a bit in front of Ginny. And then for some reason, Ginny can't see them because, well, she moves behind a post.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk over here so that I can't see you.
So weird. And then she just runs.
But then she's like, Paul?
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Yeah. And then Jason pops up and she's like, oh! So why didn't you just watch them? Why don't you help?
Yeah,
no, I'm just
going to
move behind this post so that I can't see what's happening and then be all surprised. Anyway, she hides in the bathroom, but then Jason has snuck outside, run round.
She hides in the bathroom. She can't lock the door, so she's just holding it. Like she's super strong.
Yeah.
Like fucking Jason, he won't be able to get in now because she's just holding. And then she kind of like lets go because she's going to go and open the window because she's like, oh, like, let that go. And then obviously Jason comes through the window.
Yeah, he's instead of just opening the door that she's holding closed, he's run around the outside of the building, and he smashes his hand in through the window to try and grab her.
Proper strong, I can't open this fucking door.
I'm not very strong, but I'm deceptively quick. I ran all the way around the building, and I got her through the window. So now she runs off to the kitchen and is about to escape out the window when she sees the doorknob being rattled with and turned.
Yep.
So she heads over to the door.
Yeah.
With a knife in her hand, ready to kill whatever opens that door. But Jason doesn't open the door. He smashes through it with a pitchfork.
A pitchfork
like takes out a big chunk of the door.
Yep.
Surely it would just take out three holes.
Yeah, it would and then get stuck. Yeah. And you're like, oh! I did not think this through.
But no, it smashes through the whole door because it's so badly built.
Yeah. Oh, that's when she fucking... she goes to open. For some reason, she's going to run into the walk-in fucking pantry, and Doomsayer Ralph falls out. You know, which is a nod to the first film when he was just hiding in the
walk-in pantry before.
Went doomed.
Ralph's corpse is found in the pantry. That's when she now decides to go out the window.
Yeah.
Yes, and she goes to her crappy car, which surprise, surprise,
it's broken.
Doesn't
again.
Start.
Paul's not there to open it
and look at it and do nothing. If only someone was here just to open up the hood and look at the engine and do nothing and it would start. I can't do that. I'm a woman.
And then Jason's like, bah! At the window. Mm-hmm. And then he puts...
Do you need a jump?
Yeah, try it down.
I can do this. I can plumb. I can mechanic. I can do it all.
I'm surprisingly adept at many things. But yeah, then he put, is it the knife or the fork? I can't remember.
Pitchfork through the soft top.
On the side that she's not, wouldn't you try like jab her in the head with it? But no, he goes round to the passenger side.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to hurt her.
I thought maybe it was a European car. Yeah.
And then, again, this is more evidence of Ginny's fucking super strength, because while he's trying to get through the thing, all she does is open the door, and Jason flies.
She kicks the door open.
Whatever. He's still not going to fucking... Yeah. He is launched across the woods, lands in the water. No.
Yeah, see, he kind of sends him rolling down a hill, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then she runs away again to hide in a bush.
Yeah, it's not even a bush. It's like a collection of twigs. Like, she's not hidden at all.
That's a nice bush you got there. I see you.
Anyway.
Jason approaches and she knees him in the balls.
She does.
Knocking him down again.
Yeah.
And she runs
Jason's
away.
Jason's fucking rubbish in this film.
I told you. I'm not very strong. I'm just quick. She runs away some more and hides behind a car.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs away some more out into the wilderness. And then Jason comes at her from the side somehow.
And misses.
No, does he miss? For no fucking reason, he just kind of falls over.
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Oh, my balance! Yeah. Fuck! It's just uneven terrain!
It's hard to see in this fucking bag.
Yeah. I'm committed, dog, because I'm the New Jersey baghead. It's my whole thing. I'm never giving it up. I'll always be the baghead. Definitely not going to change it to anything else.
They'll be talking about me for years to come.
It's iconic. It's what I'll be known for. The bag. Anyway, after he's fallen over for no fucking reason, other than the uneven terrain, we get a shot of the moon and time passes.
Apparently,
time elapses for some reason. And then Jason arrives at a cabin, which just happens to be the cabin that Ginny is hiding in, which is lucky. She's hiding under the bed.
Yeah.
And a friendly rat comes along to say hello. Possibly the one from Ratatouille. Don't know.
Yeah, we're not looking for Ted.
But Ginny doesn't like rats, so she pisses herself.
Pisses herself, yes. Apparently. Jason hears this, or smells it.
Oh, the asparagus! You like that shit?
He's like looking the opposite way, and he just turns around.
Yeah. He sort of, and then he's heading out, and then smells or hears the pee coming out from under the bed, and he sees it, and then he pretends to leave, like, oh, I guess I'll be heading out now.
She's definitely not in here. Yeah. Shuts the door, then climbs on a chair.
So Ginny emerges from under the bed, but Jason is there right next to the fucking bed, stood on a chair ready to pitchfork her, but the chair collapses
under his tiny frame.
Who built this thing? Ginny then grabs a chainsaw and attacks Jason with it, kinda.
Yeah, but Jason's proper shit scared of that chainsaw. I mean, you would be. It's a chainsaw. Yeah. But he's like,
she kind of attacks him.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any damage, but he just kind of falls over. She gives up on the chainsaw for some reason.
Yeah.
And then breaks a chair over his head, knocking him unconscious. She leaves back through the woods until she stumbles upon Jason's Unabomber shack.
Yeah.
So she goes, don't look under my bed.
I didn't know I was going to have guests.
Yeah. I didn't tidy. Tidy. Ignore these.
Also, this is a man cave. No girls.
Yeah. And no sex, I'll kill you. But Jason has followed her back there because he's totally fine from the chainsaw and the fucking smashing over there.
Also, she gets there and she's like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Hello? Like, anyone that lives in that.
It's clearly a murderer. Yeah. Look at it. Yeah, Jason has followed her back there, and he gets there and he starts trying to kick down the door. I forgot my keys!
Yeah. It's his house! Yeah. I can't get in!
And then we spot Jason's shrine to his mother.
Yeah.
He's got a shrine with Pamela Voorhees' decapitated head in the middle of it. Also, Vicky's body is there, as is Terry's.
Yeah.
There's like some candles. And the cop. And I think Alice. Or what's supposed to be Alice.
Oh, right. I didn't notice that.
A few bodies lying around. And yeah, in the middle is Mother's beautiful head.
Yeah. The head. Also her jumper and the jeans she was wearing. Yes. How did he get these? I mean, surely the cops. We saw the cops turn
I
up
murdered them! Anybody touch my mother, I'll murder you!
Like, the cops turned up, and it was like Jason's there, like, undressing his mother's body, and they're like, just let him have this.
So, Ginny hatches a plan, and she puts on Pamela's old disgusting sweater and pretends to be his mother.
At what point is this logical thinking? Like, do you think, I know exactly how
well, it seems to
now.
Fool him.
Yeah, of course it does. Otherwise, the film wouldn't work. But she's like, he'll definitely think that I'm his mum.
Yeah.
That's hoping that Jason's, like, really fucking dumb. Well, which is. Apparently he is.
Yes. I had no education.
Yeah. But I'd be like, oh, God, if I put this jumper on.
Heck
like,
of a plumber, though.
Yeah. I'm hoping he's dumb enough to think I'm his mum. Yeah. But he has managed to wire this whole place up and build a fucking pinball machine out of pint cones and plumb that toilet in. So maybe he's not that stupid, but, you know.
And, so, yeah, she has duped Jason into thinking that this is his
nearly.
Mother. Nearly. And Ginny nearly gets to kill him, but then as she steps to one side to swing, is it, what's she got in her hands?
The machete.
Machete at this point. Yeah. To kill him, she steps to one side, revealing behind her is Jason's mother's head still on the shrine. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, wait.
Can't have two heads.
If you're my mother, what's your head doing over there? Why?
What she should have done, and I actually genuinely thought she considered it at one point, because she's looking at, she looks, there's a
put the head on.
Yeah, on but there's a point where she looks at the head while she's putting the jumper on. It. I was like, is she gonna
like put the? Because it's a turtleneck. It's got a collar.
Yes. So she just put the head on top.
Jason. No, you're listening to me.
I'm standing like this because I've got a terrible migraine.
That's why I'm constantly holding my head. Stop killing people. This is the voice of your mother. And it just falls off. Oh, no. That's how it goes wrong. She drops her head. Mother! Oh! Oh! Decapitated again! So Jason cuts her leg with his pickaxe. By the way, Jason has like a different weapon in every scene.
Yeah, I know.
Machete, pickaxe, pitchfork.
There is a shot in his shack where he's got like an armory.
I built a tool shed as well.
And he picks up the fucking pickaxe from there.
Yeah. And then Paul arrives because he's not dead.
He's not dead.
No. And he arrives and he fights Jason some more.
Yeah. Fights tiny Jason.
Yes. Jason is about to kill Paul, but Ginny sticks a machete in his shoulder.
Yep.
Which kills him, apparently, somehow. The old machete to the shoulder, eh?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, because the shoulder is...
My Achilles shoulder!
the shoulder's an important organ in keeping you alive. And they just assume that he's dead now.
Yeah. So, and Ginny takes his bag off, but we don't see his face.
No, they just go...
Ew! Grass.
Which is harsh.
Anyway, Paul and Ginny walk off. And they arrive back at the cabin. They've brought the pitchfork with them.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is in two bits.
Yeah. Yeah. They hear a noise or something outside. So Paul goes to investigate, armed with...
The shit end of the
handle. The handle of the pitchfork.
He gives Ginny the good end.
Yeah. He's got a fork handle. Fork handle.
Fork handles.
Who could it possibly be, though? It's Muffin.
It's Muffin. The
it's
fucking dog
Muffin.
Knocking at the door.
So like, oh, it's Muffin. But then, just then, Jason jumps through the window and attacks Ginny in slow motion with no bag on his head.
No.
How dare you take my bag? I'm the New Jersey baghead.
You ruined my whole
mystique. My whole thing. It was going to be iconic. Now I got to find a new gimmick.
We also know Jason has like the beginning, like half a beard.
Yeah, he's got half a beard, half.
So weird.
Yeah, yeah. Then fade to the next day, and Ginny is being carried away on a stretcher by paramedics, asking, "Where's Paul? Where's Paul?" Yeah.
Nothing. No, nobody says anything.
Yeah,
she's just like, "Where's Paul?" They don't.
They don't answer. Her.
There's no like mysterious. We didn't find a Paul or anything like that. This is guilty of the same thing the first thing did. It should have ended.
Yes.
But now they're putting her in the fucking.
But then
ambulance.
We cut to a shot of Pamela's head still at the shrine.
Yeah.
On there. The end.
Yeah. It's a wildly unnecessary shot. But that whole
the ending's totally weird.
Wildly unnecessary. Like just setting up, like it feels like it was tacked on at the end because I was like, we'll definitely make another one because we've kind of balls this one up. But Yeah, that's the end.
What did you think?
It's a bit of a mess, this film.
It is. It's basically the first film,
yeah,
but with a different killer and a shitter reveal, because we know it's who the killer is.
Yeah.
But I still prefer this to the first one.
I do prefer it. I do prefer it to the first film, because the first film is always... See, the thing I've got with the Friday the 13th films is I like Jason. I like the idea of Jason. I think Jason's he's an iconic sort of slasher bad guy.
It's the bag.
and everything else. But the films aren't great, like, themselves.
No, they're stupid.
And yeah, but the reveal in the first film is stupid. It's really dumb that it's his mum.
It's so stupid, no one ever saw it coming.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
it's entirely impossible. Still, that the bit that always gets me is where she somehow manages to throw a fully grown dead woman through a window,
yeah,
then run into the woods, get into a car and drive back. Makes no sense. Anyway, so this, like, you're like, this is the one where Jason takes over, and you're like, that's a bit more believable.
Mm-hmm.
But then this whole film does everything to undo the whole fucking mystique of Jason almost. Like, he's not dead. Like, he's been growing up in
the
woods.
He never died.
He didn't die, which renders the entire fucking first film pointless.
Unless the Jason that jumps out of the end of the water at the the end of the first film was just a dream.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
That's the only way it makes sense. It still doesn't make sense.
No.
Then why didn't he tell his mother he was alive?
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff for killing everybody.
And they're like, oh yeah, that's it on this film. They're like, the reason he's going around killing people is because he saw his mum get murdered.
Yeah.
That, if he saw it, why is he like, fucking, he's like, gonna, I will tell my mum I'm alive, but not yet.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, now it's too late.
And she's killed everyone. Yeah, and also, yeah, the ending is...
Yeah, it's a garbage ending.
What happened to Paul? What happened to Muffin?
Yeah.
What happened to Ratatouille?
Yeah, I know. The one person I wanted to die horrifically is Ted Rex, and whatever his fucking name
doesn't
is.
Doesn't even make it to the
doesn't
end of the
film.
Doesn't even
leave the bar.
He just gets drunk and...
Yeah.
Don't know. Well, he went off with those 80-year-old men to the nighttime place to have some fun.
The late place.
Yeah.
So he probably had an even more horrific time.
Yeah.
He's somewhere strapped to a fucking dirty mattress, like face down. You got a pretty mouth, boy.
Oh, dear. Ah, yeah, I like it. Okay, I prefer it to the first one, but it's still fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's not great.
The wheelchair death is hilarious.
It is.
Yeah,
it I mean, yeah.
So
the
funny
thing is, like, even the kills aren't that inventive. Like,
they're not
that much fun. Like, the wheelchair death is probably the best one.
Yeah.
The rest of them aren't. They're not. I mean, even the first one, like the whole Kevin Bacon gets the arrow through the throat and stuff.
Yeah.
He had some decent kills.
Inventive stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. This.
Well, Tom Savini
was
a bit
lazy
on this one.
Yeah.
Some trivia: the budget for this $1.25 million. It grossed $21 million.
So there's a reason why we've got like 11 films.
Yes. And we're gonna be doing them all. Adrian King only agreed to appear in this film if she could only be in it for a short amount of time.
Because she had better things to do.
At the time, she was dealing with an obsessive fan who started stalking her and even broke into her apartment, defaced her artwork, and held a gun to her head.
Jesus. I feel bad for her.
She basically didn't really want to be on screen and did not appear on screen again until 2010. She did voice work.
Yeah.
Was actually in some quite big films doing dubbing and stuff. That's what her career was. But was never on screen again until 2010.
What did she do in 2010?
I don't fucking know. It's a movie. Jason is dressed exactly the same as the killer from the movie The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
I've read this before.
Because I've seen,
yeah,
I've never seen The Town That Dreaded Sundown, but I've seen the poster.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah. Sean S. Cunningham, Tom Savini, Betsy Palmer have all stated the entire plot of Jason being alive the whole time was stupid. If he was alive, why didn't he tell his mother? And all the murders of the first movie would have been avoided.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, this film would have been better if it was something else, I think. Like, not better. I mean, it's not a great film. But it's not the worst film. But if this had been outside of the Friday the 13th franchise, probably would have worked better. So, I mean, it kind of fucks up the whole Jason thing, though.
Yeah, nah, well, no. Just no. It still would have been a shitty film.
Oh, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, as...
Maybe they should have made this one better.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? The film should have been better?
Yeah, the film should have been better. But in the Friday the 13th franchise, it's a real fucking, like, it's a bit of like a toe thump. Like, you're like, what the fuck, what is this?
Warrington Gillette, who plays Jason, originally auditioned for the role of Paul.
Ryan O was like, no, we can...
Put a bag on his head.
Put a bag on his head and you're in. My fucking pride would have been hurt.
In the original ending that they had planned, Betsy Palmer, is it Pamela Voorhees, Pamela Voorhees' head on the shrine, like as it zooms in, then just ends.
Yeah.
The eyes were going to open. She was going to smile.
See, you can, as it zooms in, I was waiting for that to happen.
Because it's clearly a real head.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't. It just, and then they must have filmed it because it freezes.
Yeah,
so you can tell by the candles stop flickering and stuff. Yeah. So they must have filmed it as that.
They did, yeah. But apparently, it looked stupid. It looked too fake.
Yeah,
but this was for somehow gonna give the idea that Paul had died because Pamela was pleased. I don't fucking. That's what I read.
Fuck knows.
Don't know. But I still think it would have been better than just ending where it did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even if it looks fake.
Stupid.
It's fucking Friday the 13th movie. Who cares if it looks fake? Just fucking do it. And Betsy Palmer never saw this film. And in 2003, at a convention, talking to someone, had completely forgotten she was even in it.
She's not really. I mean,
she has one scene.
Yeah, there's the bits where she puts the jumper on and then like they
pretending
filmed
to be mother.
Like, over the top of it. But yeah, I wouldn't. I've remembered doing that probably.
No. And some comments, which I've just got to find from.
I only got one, I think.
People on the internet. Some comments from people on the Instagram. The Spook House podcast says, has the darkest vibe of the series. The wheelchair kill is cold blooded shit.
Who said that?
The Spook House podcast. Yeah. Stella Vanek, when he falls off the chair, is the best moment of the entire franchise.
It is funny.
My Little Slice of Hell, Friday the 13th Part 2 is my favourite of the series and in my top 10 all-time horror films has a touch of giallo. Yeah, yeah. There's some, I mean, it also has a touch of what the fuck are you doing with the camera? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Paige X Bowers, from a style standpoint, it has Jason's best attire, in my opinion.
What, the baghead?
Oh, the baghead! I told you! People are going to remember the New Jersey baghead. It's iconic. We should watch The Town That Dreaded Sundown then, I guess. Stark 2490. Good, but hate how clumsy Jason is. Always tripping over, always tripping up and falling. Yeah.
Bitches be tripping.
Yep.
I only got one comment, and it's you've already read one out for me. My Little Slice of Hell said it's my favourite in the franchise, my all-time top five horror films.
Oh, it's must be
ridiculously awesome. And then he put, and so is your show.
Hooray.
So that's why I'm reading that out. Thanks very much.
Well, there we go. That was Friday the 13th, part 2. Next week, I don't know what we're doing. Something not Friday the 13th, but something just as bad.
Yeah, I think we've talked about what it might be.
We put it off like a year.
Yeah.
But we will be doing Friday the 13th, part 3 and 4 and all that stuff.
Yeah, for some reason, because all the Friday the 13th films are on Paramount Plus, apart from 3. I don't know why it's not 3 isn't on there, but I'm sure I'll find it somewhere.
But it's in 3D. Can't wait for that.
Apparently so.
Thank you for listening. If you're still listening, like that if you liked it. And subscribe and all that shit. Blah, 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 blah. See you next time.
Ta-da.
Bye. Bye.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. No, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.